song. It was powerful, and it was a blessing to hear, and it was a very worshipful time, and we're blessed to have such a dedicated and disciplined choir. And man, I'm telling you, they just rang the bell. I was telling someone, I think it's the best one that I've heard in the time that I've been here with you. I mean, everybody was just together. It was great. It was awesome. Any praises tonight before we take off here? Yes, sir.
I praise the Lord for the comment you just made about the choir.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got to praise God's giving me healing. Yesterday I was in such great pain. I have something going on in my neck. I pull a muscle, I don't know, every several months when I'm down on my knees, not praying, but actually doing work, like real work, you know, down on my knees and then looking up, like doing tile work or something. I have a tendency to pull a muscle. This muscle in my neck, it just gets aggravated and it locks up. I don't know if you've ever had a pull muscle. Your back or your neck, sucker just locks up. I mean, you know, and you'll be thinking you're going to turn your head to the right, and that dude locks up. It's like somebody has punched you in the head. It hurts so bad, man. I mean, it just, whoo, it gets you. And I don't know if you guys prayed for me, but I'm telling you, the Lord touched this old guy. And I mean, this morning, it's a wee bit sore, but it ain't nothing like it was. Amen? Amen. That's a great praise. Amen. Any other praises or testimonies tonight? Yes, Carol. I got all the time. That's great, girl. Amen. I saw some other hands shoot up, Lois.
But I want to thank the Lord for this time.
Amen.
And
yeah.
And it makes you feel welcome. And you don't know anything about the Bible.
Right. Right. Right.
Whether you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, I didn't know.
Right.
But there was only deep in the New Testament. And this church was a loving church.
Amen.
And it accepted me as a sinner.
Yes. No.
Godly people that God put in my life to watch.
Praise God.
And I did watch you, Brother Bill.
Amen, Brother Bill.
And you were an inspiration to me.
That's good.
And Karen and Mike and others in the church that, you know, Miss Vicky's not here, but I would even say Miss Vicky.
Yeah.
After I got saved,
sure, come on.
I saw what God did and heard by the Bob's life.
Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you. That's great. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Got a hand back there, Brother Marco. Go, man. Come on, the big 2-0. Amen. Amen, Brother Marco. That's a good word, brother. You keep telling it like that. Amen. And brother, you got 5 more years before you can give advice. Don't give nobody advice until you've been married 25 years. I learned that the hard way. Amen. All right, back here in the back. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. There's something to be said about Southeast Texas living, amen. Something to be said for it. That's right. Outstanding. Rebecca, you gotta have a praise, amen. Brian is home. Praise the Lord, amen. That's good. Outstanding. Yeah, Ron, you got your hand halfway up.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know where to start. I could go all night long. But
okay.
First of all, I'd like to praise the church for being here and
Hey, all right. Very good.
And like I say, this week, Ronnie had a birthday. What day? Thursday? Friday. Yesterday.
Ronnie had a birthday? And who has a birthday? Somebody has a birthday tomorrow. Who was that tomorrow? Walt's got one tomorrow? Oh, Lori's got one tomorrow. And Lori back in the back's got one. Yeah, Lori, right, wait. Wave your hand, Lori. Man, you know how old Lori's going to be? 28. 28, amen. Stop embarrassing people. Okay, all right, very good. All right, let's take our Bibles. We're going to read two passages together. Let's go ahead and stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. The first passage we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, we'll take it through verse 32. That'll be the passage that we end with. That will be, we'll pick that up after the invitation tonight. And before we receive the Lord's Supper, we'll be into that, the elements. And then we'll, as we read 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23 through 32, then we'll jump over and look at our focal passage tonight to tie it all together, and that's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 13 and taking it through verse 14. Just two little verses over there in 16. If you found 1 Corinthians 11, 23, would you say amen?
Amen.
The word, am I on, brother? Okay. The Word of God reads this, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." That is really the gist of the Lord's Supper. Now, there's a lot of great benefits, and we're going to hit on a few of those tonight. But it is proclaiming the Lord's death. Because what happens because of the Lord's death? We get away to God. Amen?
Amen?
Proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. The implication is He resurrects. Amen? After He's placed in that borrowed tomb. The Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, and He's coming back, right? All right. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world." Now take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And as we continue on in this series of messages in 1 Corinthians, we'll read verses 13 and just 14, just two little verses right here. You found that, 1 Corinthians 16, beginning in verse 13? The Word of God reads this, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." That's right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this evening. We thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to gather in Your name, to sing these beautiful songs of the Christmas season. Lord, we just are so excited, we're so blessed to get to celebrate Your first Advent. Lord, as we celebrate that first Advent, Lord, we know that there's a second Advent coming. And Lord, the thing that ties them together are the ordinances of the church. And we're so blessed to participate in Holy Communion tonight together as a body of believers. May You manifest Your presence here tonight with Your anointing, with Your blessing, with Your encouragement, with Your conviction, Lord, as there's things we need to confess and get right. Lord, may You have Your way with us. May Your Word divide and pierce and clean and do all those things it needs to do to our heart tonight. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said,
amen.
Thank y'all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Now, just a few reminders to you. If you're all members here this evening, it's great. It's open communion. Amen. So that means if you're a blood-bought believer sealed for the day of redemption, you've received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we invite you to participate in Holy Communion with us. Amen. You may be a member here, you may be a visitor here, but we invite you to participate in that. If you've not received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we would ask that you abstain. If you're a little bitty person and you've not yet received Christ, we would ask that you not take the elements tonight. This is for the church, the saved church. I believe it's for the baptized church. So, let's think that through. We don't want to be loose or light or disrespectful when it comes to our Lord's Supper. Amen. Well, as we think about these two verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, as we prepare ourselves for this Lord's Supper tonight, verses 13 and 14. Remember that the greater part of 1 Corinthians is in the form of a what? What is it? What did we call it 2 weeks ago? We looked back at this December the 4th. What did we say that the greater part of 1 Corinthians is in the form of? It's in the form of a rebuke. Very good. Somebody's paying. We're paying attention. Amen? Praise God. It's a rebuke. It's given for correction. Right? The first 14 chapters deal primarily with wrong behavior. Chapter 15 deals with wrong theology. Even chapter 13, the beautiful treatise, The Teaching on Love, was given to correct the lovelessness that so characterized the Corinthian church. I'm always having to remind myself, man, are you loving enough? Are you preaching in love? Or are you trying to pastor in love? You've got to be a lover of people. Amen? People need love. Amen? They need correction, but they need to be corrected in love. Right? That's the way it's got to be. Right? The rebuke and correction were themselves given by the Apostle Paul out of deep love. That scathing rebuke that he gave about how they were conducting themselves in the Lord's Supper, he even gave that in deep love. Paul was saturated in the love of God, and his rebuke, like the Lord's own rebuke of His children, was always given in love. That's how He disciplines us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, you'll remember that very familiar passage. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. In our passage again this evening, having looked at this last on December the 4th, Paul gives five final imperatives in the Greek. In other words, these are not suggestions, but these are rather commands to the Corinthians. These five commands are in many ways the positive. It's the do's. You ought to do this. You look at it here. Be on the alert. That's a do. Stand firm in the faith. That's a do. Act like men. That is a do. Be strong. Do that. Be strong, right? Let all that you do be done in love. These are do's, not don'ts. These are the kind of the I've been telling you what not to do. Now I'm going to tell you what to do, so to speak. And we covered the first one of these. There's five of them. Five in verses 13 and 14. You'll remember the first one we covered. Be alert, verse 13. King James Version says, watch ye. The Corinthians had certainly been guilty of what? Of not being alert, not being watchful. Right, I'm telling you, if you are not careful in the world that we are living in the television, the junk that's on the airs, and the social media that runs rampant through the internet, all that is out there, if you're not careful, you will be sucked into that. Right? You got to be watchful. You got to be alert. In the New Testament, we are told of at least five important things we are to watch out for, to be on the alert for. We are to be alert against Satan. I'm telling you, he's prowling. And he's roaming, and he's looking for whom he may devour. We are to be on the alert for temptation. It is everywhere. It is all around us, folks. Only by the Word of God can we discern it properly and abstain from it, temptation. We must be alert for apathy and indifference. Christians should be alert for false teachers about whom the New Testament gives many warnings, false teaching. Finally, we should be alert, watchful for the Lord's return. Praise God. The second coming. He is coming back. Amen. Well, as we continue on, be alert. The number two, the second one is to be firm. Verse 13 in the New American Standard Version says, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Are you standing firm in the faith of God tonight? As the great theologian Charles Hodge reminded us, we should not consider every point of doctrine an open question. Man, there are some absolutes. There are some standards. And we as New Hope cannot be like the Corinthians. We must heed the warning that Paul gave the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 reads, as a result, we are no longer to be children. No longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceit and scheming. I tell you what, we finally get the doctrine around this church about tithing. It's taken 3 years to get people to say and pray and speak about the word tenth. It's a tithe. Amen? Now you know where we're going from here, don't you? We're going to an offering after the tithe. Friend, I want to tell you, the seed that gets blessed is the seed that gets out of the barn. Amen? That's the seed that gets blessed, right? So we're getting there. It's a slow turn. It's a slow, tenuous turn. But we're getting there, and you're shouldering that, and you're doing that, and praise God for that. Amen? We stand firm on these biblical things. We're not to be tossed to and fro. Well, maybe this is something optional that we do. Maybe evangelism is something optional we do. Maybe praying is something optional. No, these are things that we must do as believers. Church, right? Amen? Amen. The Corinthians would not take a firm stand. They were saved, by the way, but the Corinthians would not take a firm stand on many things. They were certain on little, and they viewed much as relative and optional. And I want to tell you, the great truths of God's Word are the do's, and we've got to shoulder them, and we've got to do them. Amen? I ask you the question here, what is the faith that Paul speaks of here? Don't answer it, it's rhetorical, but think about it. He says, stand firm in the faith. What is the faith? Think about it. What is the faith? The faith of which Paul speaks of here is not that of trusting. We're not talking about trusting faith, but the faith of truth. We're talking about the content of the gospel. Let me give you another example. Jude, the book of Jude, verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, Jude verse 3 says, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all and handed down to the saints. It's the truth, the content of the gospel. See, the faith here, look at verse 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. The Word of God reads, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which also you stand. That's the faith, the gospel, the content of it. Amen. The faith here in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 is the faith in which we are to, as 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight for. Amen. It's the gospel. It's the content of that truth. Paul told the Philippians that he expected to hear that they were worthy of the truth. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what's so beautiful when a choir gets up here. And everybody's in sync, and everybody's practiced, and everybody knows the notes, and everybody harmonizes, and everybody brings what they've got together for the gospel and the glory of Christ. It was the church in miniature, amen, leading us to the throne today. But that's what it is. It's in one spirit coming together for the faith of the gospel. Doctrine. When I ask the question, what is the faith here in verse 13? It's doctrine. Doctrine is in view in regards to faith. What is the faith that we're talking about? It's doctrine. What is the doctrine of the faith of the Lord's Supper? Well, we know it's an ordinance of the church. There are only two, not seven sacraments, only two ordinances. Amen? That's an ordinance of the church. It's a remembrance of Christ's sacrificial death, of a price that was paid that I could not pay, but that which I owed. Amen? When I remember together with you, we do it once a quarter around here. Sometimes we slip another one in there and have five a year, and that's okay. Amen? You could do it once a month, and you're not going to bother me. But most Baptist folk, they like it once a quarter. When I remember together with you, it is a special time. I want to tell you, Jesus anoints it. I want to tell you, I feel Him in the air when we do this. Amen? And I'm not trying to get weird or Baptist-costal on you. I'm just telling you, He's here. Jesus is here. He anoints the elements. Man, we think about the elements and what they represent. I want to tell you, they encourage us. I want to tell you, they bond us together. I want to tell you, they motivate us to continue on in the truth for the gospel's sake and for the building of the kingdom's sake and for the glory of the Lord's sake until He returns, because He's coming back. See, Satan cannot take away saving faith from us. Amen? He cannot take away saving faith, but he can and often does obscure the content. He obscures and distorts the content of our faith truth, the sound doctrines of God's Word. That's what he does. That's what he does. See, if we do not hold fast to right interpretations of Scripture, what usually happens to us? We are certain to slip into wrong thinking. And wrong thinking leads to wrong belief. And wrong belief and wrong thinking lead to wrong behavior. Amen. I want to tell you, some of you will be tempted to get sucked into the activities of what the world calls the holidays. We call it Christmas. They call it the holiday break. Some of you will be tempted to get sucked in to imbibe in alcohol, sucked in to do all kinds of things that are not becoming of a Christian, right? And it all looks so okay, and it all looks so well. You know, it's just once a year. It all looks so well. I'll just let down my guard for just a moment. Well, I mean, you know, it talks about wine. It talks about alcohol in the Bible. Isn't it okay to partake a little bit of that? And I say, no. No, the Bible's against drunkenness. And I want to tell you, the liquor that is being produced today and the alcohol that is being produced today is so much stronger, so much more potent. It is designed for inebriation. It is not designed for water purification. The alcohol today and the wine today is not to be drunk to help keep you healthy from getting dysentery. The wine and the liquor and the beer, those things are made to get you snookered. Amen? And God doesn't want you that way. He wants you in your right mind. He wants you in your right mind, right? Wine can mean one of three things when you read it. The context always dictates it, right? And I was talking to friends and family today about this very thing, right? And because we all know people, they claim to be Christian and they claim to be churched, but they drink. And sometimes they drink into excess and sometimes they don't, but sometimes they do. And so the bottom line comes down to your interpretation, what the Bible means, what you believe the Bible means about alcohol, about wine. And so wine in the Bible can mean one of three things. Wine can mean new wine, and it may not say new wine. Wine can mean fermented wine, that is wine with alcohol content. And if you see wine in the Bible, it can also mean strong drink or vinegared wine. That's wine to its maximal potential of alcohol. It's about 14%, 28 proof, right? And so the context always dictates what that wine is. So when Jesus made wine at the wedding feast, it was not fermented wine. They got a hold of it and said, "You saved the best for last." They weren't saying the best because it's loaded with alcohol. They were saying the best because it's brand new and it tastes sweet. The sugar had not fermented in it, friend. And it was good to drink. It was like what we're going to partake of here tonight. Good old wine. Amen? Grape juice. Does that make sense to you? Don't get sucked in this week. Don't get sucked in this week, this Christmas, because I know it's out there. And if your family's like the rest of the families in the world, they'll be looking to you to see if you're going to slip on in with them. Don't slip on in with them, friend. Amen? Don't do it. Satan cannot take saving faith away from us, but he can and often does obscure the content of our faith, the truth, the sound doctrine of God's Word. If we don't hold fast to right interpretation of Scripture, what usually happens? Friend, we are certain to slip up into wrong thinking, into wrong belief, and into wrong behavior. Many of the Corinthians had apparently come to look on the truth of God itself, the truth of God itself as foolishness, being corrupted by the influence of their unbelieving friends and neighbors. That is the balance of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you want to look at it with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're closing out this book study of 1 Corinthians, so we're kind of reviewing it as we close it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 21. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Human philosophy and wisdom had all but obliterated their view of God's Word. By trying to combine human wisdom and God's wisdom, they had undermined the uniqueness and the authority of God's revealed truth. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. Beginning in verse 18 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 and 19. And I'm about to wind it up here, so hold on. The Word of God reads, let no man deceive himself. 1 Corinthians 3, 18. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become... Yeah, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. Amen? Like many professed Christians today, the Corinthians considered Scripture to be but a human commentary. People think it's nothing but a human commentary on the views of God that existed at the time of writing. There's no way that it can have any impact on my life today in 2016. There's no way that's an antiquated book. Yeah, there may be a God. Okay, I believe there's a God. Okay, Jesus will save me, but you really want me to learn this Bible? What do you mean? The first century moderate Christians believed that if God's truth can be known at all, then God's truth must be filtered through man's knowledge and wisdom. That's hogwash, friend. That is hogwash. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I'm not a filter for the Word of God. Oh, no. Listen to Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That doesn't sound like a filter. That sounds like surgery. Amen? I'm a person to be operated on by the Word of God, to be worked over by the Word of God, to be encouraged by the Word of God, to be torn down by the Word of God, to be built up by the Word of God, to be infused by the Word of God, to be moved forward by the Word of God. Amen? That's the Word of God. I'm not a filter for it. No. Oh, no. The Corinthians were not standing firm in their view of Scripture, which inevitably leads into slipping into viewing Jesus in a lesser way. Boy, that is the great tragedy of the contempo seeker sensitive way out there church, man. That is the... Boy, when they water down the message, they get away from all of the Word of God. Boy, that is the problem. A low view, a lesser view of Jesus Christ than what he ought to have. My Jesus is my Savior, and he is my Lord. He has every right. He deserves every opportunity. I owe him much. not for my salvation, but because of my salvation. Amen? Amen? Paganism had so strongly re-entered their thinking. These are saved folks that are backslid. Paganism had so strongly re-entered their thinking that some of them, claiming to speak by the Spirit of God, were calling Jesus accursed. You say, how can anybody be saved and call Jesus accursed? It's hard to wrap your head around. They backslidden down the long road of being backslidden. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 3 says, therefore I make known to you, 1 Corinthians 12, 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. Some of them were saying that, and Paul's saying, no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the Corinthians had not stood firm in God's Word. Oh, friend, because the Corinthians had not stood firm in God's Word, their backsliding condition led them to be corrupted and perverted to the extent of attacking the gospel at its heart by renouncing Christ and calling Him accursed. The Corinthians and others like them today were, the Corinthians were, and others like them today are, as 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 reads, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Heresies that we introduce today, what do you think? You really don't need to be in the Word of God much. You know, just come to church once a week. You know, the expectations are pretty low. Just kind of come and or don't come. You know, I mean, it's really about missing hell. Praise God, it's about missing hell, amen? But there's so much more to it than missing hell, right? So much more to it, right? Or just destructive heresies and doctrines. The church is about me. I'm the sinner. All of this is about, you know, me getting a better this or me moving up here or me getting this huge blessing. God blesses, amen. God heals, God touches, amen. But friend, when we come together, this service is about Him, amen. Everything about it should be geared for His glory, for His honor, to worship Him. I would rather err on that side, wouldn't you? Err on the side of glorifying Almighty God. Err on that side. That would be the side I want to err on. Not the side of glorifying me or glorifying you or glorifying man. I don't want to err on that side. Amen? Don't want to err on that side. The apostle therefore commands, he doesn't suggest but commands, that they, the Corinthians, and us 2,000 plus years later, that we stand firm in the faith. The Corinthians and us must, as he commanded the Thessalonians, in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions. What's the tradition we're holding to tonight? The Lord's Supper, amen? Hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. So what does all that mean for me and you? If we're to be firm in the faith, we must be well taught in the Word. And that doesn't mean just being in a church that teaches the Word and preaches the Word. We've got to be self-taught the Word. We've got to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. Amen, church? Looking at everything, judging everything. Well, you know, the pastor said this. Does that line up? Does that line up with the Word of God? Boy, we get in there and we judge everything by God's truth. We judge everything by God's standards. That's what I do. If I'm reading a commentary, friend, the brother says something, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Let me look over here in the Bible. Does that jive? Sometimes it jives, sometimes it don't. Amen. Make a mental note. Next time reading commentary, read this guy with a squinted ear. Amen. And a squinted eye. Because he got a tendency to talk about this. And I don't see, he's got some good stuff in here. But There's some things, oh man. So we judge it by what? We judge it by God's truth and God's standards. So what does all this mean for us as we come together to receive the Lord's Supper tonight? Friend, we should be praying for each other. We should be praying for ourselves. We should be praying for the church today as Epaphras prayed for the Colossians. Listen to Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. Laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. You won't stand perfect in all the will of God unless you're in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, as we get into this time of invitation, as we think about standing firm, as we think about being reminded during this Lord's Supper time that because of the great price that was paid, this incredible death that was given, this sacrifice that was made, oh Lord, may we examine ourselves this evening. Lord, if we're not standing firm the way we ought to be standing firm, if we're not living like we know that you could come back any moment, Lord, help us repent of that. Lord, help us get clean of the things that so easily ensnare us. Lord, help us confess. Lord, help us make things right. Lord, I pray that we would judge ourselves tonight during the invitation. Lord, that we would be willing to confess our sins. Lord, not to a priest, not to a pastor, but to you directly. Lord, may we have a clean heart when we receive the elements this evening. Thank you for loving us, Jesus. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as Miss Karen leads us in this time of invitation. As she plays in the background, you come tonight. The altars are open. They're open for you to come and pray. You come. Amen. If you'll be seated, and the deacons, if you'll come at this time and prepare the elements. Guys, if y'all pass the bread out first, that'd be great. The bread. Yes, sir. Everyone have an element that needs an element? Amen. The Word of God reads this. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We're going to thank him for the bread, and then we're going to partake of the bread. But what I want you to think as we are getting ready to celebrate Jesus' first advent, his birth, the whole purpose of the birth, the whole purpose of the first advent, that whole thing was about him. Was about him growing and living and being perfect and dying. Dying for me and you. I mean, the implication is a love that is hard to comprehend. It is so difficult to comprehend that love. I think the older I get, Brother Bill, I think the older I get, the more I comprehend it, and the more it shakes me to my very core as I see my kids growing. And to think about, you know, knowing them for 18 years, my oldest, and 15 years, my second oldest, and all the way down to the youngest, just knowing them for that short a time period, and thinking about having to give them willfully for somebody else. It is hard to comprehend that in your head. And yet God loved you and you and you and you. God loves us so much that he willingly sent his son. And Jesus stepped out of glory and took up residence in a woman's womb. And was there and was born and lived and hurt and went through all the temptation we go through and didn't succumb to any of it and lived a perfect life and struggled in the garden. His human flesh struggled in the garden, but yet His divinity won out and He went to Calvary for me and you. Man, it's hard to fathom, isn't it? Praise God for His body. Amen? Let's thank Him and then let's eat. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You and we thank You. Holy Godhead, we thank You tonight. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit for orchestrating. And Lord, for coming together with this great plan of redemption. Your holiness dictates that You cannot tolerate sin nor sinners, but Your love bridges the gap. And the body of Christ pays the price so that we might have a way to You. We love You tonight for that. We know that we are loved tonight. And Lord, that love and this union and this bond and Your anointing tonight encourages us. It spurns us on to keep on keeping on until You come. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, let's eat. Praise God. Amen. Gentlemen, the cup. Sir. Does everyone have an element that needs one? The Word of God continues on in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Well, as we think about the wine and the cup tonight, this would be biblical wine that we have before us. unfermented new wine. As we think about this, we look deeply into it, we see the color of it, we can't help but think about the blood that was shed for us. During the sacrificial systems of the Jewish people, the Israelites, from the foundation when they began sacrificing, it was always about blood being shed. There has to be a sacrifice. There has to be the lifeblood of something to cover us for a time. Before Christ was on the scene, it was animals. And so there were a lot of sacrifices. But the beauty of this sacrifice is that there's just one. Amen. It is final. As Jesus shed His blood and writhed in agony and cried His tears and cried out in utter darkness for me and you. Utter darkness the world was when Jesus was crucified. For 3 hours, utter darkness. All alone. God the Father had turned His back. He quotes Psalm 22. Why have you forsaken me? But the beauty of His shed blood is that it was sufficient. Because Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished." Amen. And friend, if we've received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, praise God. Amen. It's finished. It is a once saved, always saved, heading to heaven kind of a deal. Amen? Amen? And friends, we proclaim His death till He comes as we've done this tonight. It's good to do, isn't it? It binds my heart to the church I pastor, and hopefully it binds the people's hearts together. That's what it's supposed to do. We're here together as loved Christians by an incredible Savior that gave His all for us. Amen? Amen. Let's give thanks and then we'll drink. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You again. And we thank You for the gift of Your Son. Jesus Christ, we come again and we thank You for Your obedience to go to the cross. Person of the Holy Spirit, we thank You again for Your presence here tonight and Your anointing over the service and Your presence here with us. As we receive this second element, the cup, Lord, I pray that we would think deep and think long and think hard as we leave this place tonight of the great sacrifice You've made for us. Lord, we know that there's a cost to be paid to be a Christian. It costs us in time. It costs us in finances. It costs us in sometimes job promotion. It costs us with our neighbors. It costs us with our families. Lord, there's a cost to be paid. Lord, help us willingly pay it. Not to earn salvation, but because we're saved. Let us walk our walk in humility and in prayer. Always looking to You. Thank You for looking to us and sending such great salvation. Thank You that we know You're coming back. Thank You that we can have that truth tonight. We look forward to it. Thank You again for Your shed blood. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said,
amen.
Shall we drink? Amen. I find these times are very surreal. I don't know about you. Anybody know what surreal means? Time kind of stands still for me. Amen? Let's all stand. Deacons, we thank you for your service tonight. Church family, we thank you for your presence tonight. It's been a great day. Amen. God bless y'all. Y'all dismissed tonight.